Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. I'm your guest host, Kyle Scheidler, filling in for the great Frank Gaffney, who is off today. Joining me now, she's a good friend of the program, nationally syndicated columnist, blogs at dianawest.net, and is the author of two great books, Death of the Grown-Up and American Betrayal. She is Diana West. Diana, thank you for joining us.
Oh, wonderful to be with you, Kyle.
Diana, since you literally wrote the book, so to speak, when it comes to the Russians and their history of infiltration and subversion and manipulation of the U.S. Political process over the past, oh, say, 100 years or so, certainly since the 1920s, what do you make of this most recent round of media hyperbole about Russian influence, which, as I understand, has mostly to do with buying Facebook ads. Is that right?
Yes, and media hyperbole is a good entree to this story. I would also call it media tall tales. I mean, you look at a headline by the New York Times, which was, "How Russia Harvested American Rage to Reshape U.S. Politics." And then you read the story, and this was not just a one-off story. We saw this across the media this week in terms of this discovery that Russian sources, Russian agents, as they sometimes are called, Russian propagators, were buying advertising, targeting ads, etc., on Google, spending money on Twitter, and also Facebook. And we're coming up to a total so far of under $500,000. And this becomes the new narrative of Russian influence. And for me, I'm looking at this, and thank you for mentioning American Betrayal as my background in understanding and in continuing to research subversion, Russian Marxist, communist, globalist subversion, and how it works. And buying Facebook ads and trying to target voters is not how it works, particularly when even the New York Times has to report that the kinds of political commentary that these Russians, unknown Russians, were playing with actually had appeal for conservatives and liberals both. And where the Times actually took their story was to suggest that they were sowing division in American society, as if it doesn't already exist and as if this could do it. And then coming, you know, you reap what you sow, right? So you get this wonderful headline of how the Russians harvested American rage. And again, going to this idea of tall tales to reshape U.S. politics, which goes back to what their goal is, which is to drive home this narrative that the criminal conspiracy known as the Hillary Clinton for President campaign did not lose, but rather Vladimir Putin, through buying these Facebook ads and other measures, somehow managed to install his candidate. And where this really goes is you really need to sort of understand, I think, that these reporters really are essentially connect the dot people. They're not really trying to understand the grander scheme or what they're looking at. There's actually a story today, a very important story, I think, that was reported by NBC that talked about how over the summer, Donald Trump actually, in being presented information about American military resources, saw our long decline in nuclear capabilities on a slide, and then actually demanded that we do something about that, I think the story is reporting he wanted to, I don't know what the word is, but by 10 times increase our nuclear capabilities from their fallen and untested and obsolete state. Now, this, of course, is where Vladimir Putin is ahead of us in nuclear capabilities. Right there, you see a man who, as candidate and in his instinctive reactions to world affairs, is not someone Vladimir Putin would like to be dealing with. If he made a mistake and actually favored him for some reason, he severely miscalculated, because Donald Trump, unvarnished, is that person who wants to expand our military, our nuclear capabilities.
Well, I think that's kind of the great irony that you're presenting here, Diane, which is that at the end of the day, if sowing division and harvesting rage is the objective of the Russians, it's an objective that seems to be shared by some of our mainstream media, in the sense that Donald Trump's election was illegitimate, that the voters who voted for Donald Trump had no legitimate basis for doing so, that he is a puppet of Putin, even though he is struggling to get the well-loved officials of the bureaucracy to do stuff that Putin wouldn't want done, such as expand our nuclear bureaucracy. They're essentially two halves of the same problem.
Well, they are, and the media will not understand that or make any connection. They are driven to find chits going to Moscow in terms of trying to get people to look at a Facebook meme. I mean, this is baby stuff. It could be. I mean, in my view, what the Russians are doing on Facebook or wherever is essentially playing with these tools. And yes, of course they want to sow division, or rather amplify division that has long been sowed, and frankly, by Marxist subversives over time. I mean, it is actually one of the bases of Marxist revolution that you pit groups in a society and pit them against each other, whether it's economic, class rivalries, racial strife, etc. There are also things in our own system that really Franklin Roosevelt is the avatar of, if that's the right word, in terms of understanding grievance politics. He really was a visionary in that way, certainly glommed onto it during his many years in the White House, of understanding how you could rise with special interests. So these are, and it certainly remains a big staple of Democratic politics to this day. So we're actually looking at something much larger, but certainly zeroing in on Facebook budgeting is kind of, it may be a data point, and it may be an important data point, but the idea of presenting it as the holy grail of evidence that there was something wrong with our election because the Russians entered it in the information war is absurd. And it also, it ignores, once again, these are the same people who have consistently ignored real Soviet/Russian influence and infiltration and treason on the part of Americans who are part of it, going back that 100 years that you earlier invoked, which is actually an accurate time span. So we have a lot of problems still with our media, but this notion that they can throw a laser on this and change the narrative and confuse people is again part of the whole information kind of chaos that we live among, and it's really important to try to pull it together and understand it for what it is.
Well, that's one of the reasons we like having you on, Diana, to talk about this interesting interplay between influence and subversion and the media, and how the media essentially buys into some of these narratives. I mean, if you look at the piece you mentioned about Donald Trump seeking to expand the nuclear deterrent, those pieces largely bought into traditional Soviet propaganda about the nature of the U.S. deterrent and what it's for and why we should be reducing it, not increasing it. And so they don't even know when they're the target of an influence operation.
No, and I go back to, I'm looking right now, a screenshot of a headline in the lead story in the Washington Post, December 10, 2016. Big headline, CIA, Russia favored Trump. I mean, this is such a bald attempt by the Jeff Bezos-owned Washington Post, which is relevant because Jeff Bezos is also the owner or purveyor of the massive cloud that the CIA uses. I mean, the technology is beyond my explanation, but the ownership is easy for everyone to understand. The owner of the Washington Post also owns the CIA cloud. So we see this story, CIA Russia favored Trump. This, to me, is part of information war that no one is really wants to look at again in terms of why did the CIA push this narrative? What's going on with that? This, you know, we've lost sight of the whole ugly story of our national security establishment, from the DNI to the CIA, former CIA director and so on, purveying what very much looks like an influence operation to, again, undermine the American political scene. That has not been truly investigated or laid out, and I don't know where we are in Congress with that.
Diane, we appreciate you covering it for us. That's why we bring you on. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have. We'll be right back here on Secure Freedom Radio. Joining me will be Kevin Freeman of GlobalEconomicWarfare.com.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.